Hey folks, welcome back. This is Build 2014 in lovely San Francisco. We had some huge announcements in the keynote this morning. One of the biggest ones is the .NET Foundation announcement. So we're going to get into it. We'll do introductions of the panel, but really this is a time for you to send your questions. So while we're doing intros, think about what questions you want to ask for the .NET Foundation. But why don't we do just a quick intros this way?
Certainly. My name is Jay Schmelzer. I'm a director of program management on the Visual Studio team. My team's responsible for the .NET framework, common language runtime, programming languages, VB, C#, F#, as well as a lot of the tools in Visual Studio, some around building solutions for Azure that you're familiar with, as well as Office and SharePoint.
Go ahead.
All right. Hi there, everyone. I'm Gianluca Rabellino. I'm Senior Director for Open Source Communities at Microsoft Open Technologies, a wholly owned subsidiary of Microsoft, focusing on all things openness.
Okay.
My name is Laurent Bugnon. I work out of Switzerland for Identity Mine. We do client development. I'm an MVP regional director and interested mostly in the XAML C# side of things.
My name is Morten Christensen. I work for Umbrago HQ, which is the company behind Umbrago CMS, which is an open source CMS based on the ASP.NET web stack.
Okay. For people that didn't hear about the .NET Foundation, why don't you give us what's the quick explanation of what it is, what it's trying to accomplish?
Certainly. So what we're looking to do is we created a new individual kind of independent entity to really go and engage with and foster a vibrant open source community around .NET. It's day one of the foundation existing, so lots and lots of details to get worked out, but really looking to engage with the existing open source folks and shape the direction this goes.
Okay, cool. Microsoft's been doing open source, so what's the, obviously with OpenTech, mm-hmm. and can you talk both, I guess, first you on libraries and frameworks, because the huge announcement today being Roslyn, and then I'd love to hear kind of the Microsoft perspective and what it also means for the community.
Certainly. So from the core Microsoft perspective, a couple of years ago, we started going and embracing open source for our web technology. So a lot of the core ASP.NET technology started being open source. We've started the .NET Foundation with bringing those to the .NET Foundation. Today, we announced the open sourcing of the new .NET compiler platform.
Sweet. Love
Project
it.
Project Roslyn.
Yeah.
That also is an initial project in the .NET Foundation. And this is just the beginning. I expect lots more of this to come from us.
All right, yeah. Well, from my standpoint, I joined Microsoft 3 years and a half ago, coming straight from the open source community with a hunch and the idea that this company was changing. It was changing profoundly. And since 3 years and a half, it's been just a continuous journey. 2 years ago, we launched Microsoft Open Tech to focus even more on openness. We'd like to think about it as open source, open standards, interoperability, and outreach to developer communities. And since then, we've been delivering humongous amount of open sources. So it's been a very, very interesting and fun ride.
Cool. And All right, so .NET Foundation, what does it mean for you all? You all are contributing code. I know you from your MVVM Lite, and for people who don't know your work there, certainly, what does it mean? Like, what's it really mean?
Well, for me, it's really about reaching out to a maximum number of people and contributing, helping them understand some things which are complex. And I think, really, my project, MVVM Lite, is all about making their life easier as a developer. And so, basically, it's really about how can you code less and concentrate on things which is really important and maybe leave the plumbing apart, right? And in order to pass the message, because a lot of people have the reaction that, oh, XAML-based applications, and especially WPF, but also later, the Windows 8 framework and all that, are really hard. And I think if we can manage to teach them and take some of this complexity away, that's really great. And so there is a great community around .NET, but there is also a lot of people who don't really belong to that community because they have a day job and this is what they do. And I think reaching out to those people by any means is really a nice way to do things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm blessed to write articles for MSDN Magazine. I really love it, so it's a good way to reach out. But again, not everybody reads that. And they probably should, but they don't. And so I'm trying to find really any way to reach out to people. And I think that contributing to this movement, and it's really a good way to reach out people. And generally speaking, I just want to support any open source initiative at Microsoft. I think that you know, things have been changing so much in the past, you know, 10 years, right? Or especially 5 years, I would say, when really we see a lot of, I mean, the moment where, you know, when Anders clicked that publish button this morning was the highlight of the conference for me. It was really, wow, you know, is he going to do it? Yes, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And that was awesome. And so I really want to support that. I thought, I mean, you know, when I got the email, you know, I didn't think twice, right? It was, yeah, sure, absolutely. I want to help because it's really a great initiative, I think.
Awesome. Mm. And what does it mean for Embraco? Like, is Embraco primarily thinking of itself like, hey, we want to take open source, but also think about the commercial side, right? Because it's not just open source for open source. You're actually a company as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so Embraco has actually been open source since 2005. And we've always taken a pride in being open source and getting like our community, the people who work with Embraco, to also do open source. And we always said that open source is on our DNA, but I mean, of course, there's the commercial side, but I mean, just getting started and getting your stuff out there, I think it helps a lot in learning new stuff, and
sure.
Then you can get the commercial side afterwards, I think. First get your stuff out there and then learn how to earn money off of it.
Cool. You know, and we are taking questions from folks, so we do have our first question from Bacano, who asks, I love that you're embracing open source, ! Are other Microsoft APIs planned for the foundation, and specifically things like WPF and or Silverlight?
Sure, I'll take that one, I guess.
Sure.
I think, first of all, I think it's important to make a distinction here. The you know, while it's day one and we don't have all the details worked out, the intent behind the foundation is to really go and explore what we can do, to the point that Morten and Laurent were making, to really go and foster this community. And how can we embrace, extend, help people with what they need to get their open source project successful? These guys are part of projects that have crossed that chasm, right? They've become successful. They've gotten, you know, the recognition and visibility
sure.
they're looking for. That's one of the things that we're thinking about. How can we go and do that for others? Now, of course, as Microsoft, in our, you know, really kind of leaning in this open source movement, we're looking at across the company, how do we think about open source and how it affects our strategy for what we're trying to do? You saw that actually on day one with the operating systems group talking about open sourcing the WinJS JavaScript library, right?
Right, right.
So each group is going through and figuring out what does it mean to them and so forth. Now, as we think about the specific question of, okay, what's next? What are the next things coming in the foundation? We don't have concrete plans of the next groups that are planning to come in. I will say that one of the things that we have talked about quite a bit is that the whole goal here is to enable a vibrant community of people working on these projects together. In order to do that, we need to make sure the projects going in are set up for people to be able to contribute successfully. I need to be able to contribute enhancements to that project that I know are going to potentially be accepted because I know they've passed a set of tests, they don't break
sure.
other people that are out there. So some of the ones specifically, you know, things like WPM and stuff, right, are in the more complex category of we need to work through those, we need to make sure that they're set up for something like that. So there's no definitive plans for when something like that would happen.
So like, and just so I understand the point about one of the challenges there, so if somebody were to change a framework or you open source something and then there's multiple runtimes, then you run into this fragmentation issue, and certainly you see it on platforms like, hey, no, I thought my app just worked. Oh yeah, no, we removed the security libraries because in our enterprise we do something different,
right.
For example.
Right, or someone thought they fixed a bug in one of those stacks and it turns out it caused a regression somewhere else, or someone was depending on that behavior. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that we find all the time when we make changes to these core framework stacks is that people start depending on those behaviors. So what
right.
was a bug becomes a feature to somebody else. and so you got to really think about how do we help people best be successful doing that.
Sure, sure. There is another question, I'll just take it while we're on the topic here. Andre asks, can we use MVVM Lite in Universal apps? So since we have the creator of MVVM.
Yeah, the answer is yes. I'm super happy to say that. I actually pushed the publish button during the keynote on yesterday,
awesome.
Right?
Nice.
And I did that on my phone because the Wi-Fi was very spotty in the room, and I just went to NuGet and I published it. So yes, you can. Basically, universal apps are really a Windows Phone 8.1 application and a Windows 8.1 application together and some shared files. And everything is on NuGet, so if you go there and choose the portable class library version of MVVM Lite, basically it will just add the correct references. And if you go to my blog, blog.galasoft.ch, I have a very long article explaining what are universal apps and how to use MVVM Lite in those.
Excellent.
Yep.
I want to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Got another question here from Tataziki. Tataziki, sure. As someone who enjoyed using and learning XNA, is there a plan for next version of XNA or a possible addition for an open source variation of it for those of us who are so used to using it? So this comes back to yet another framework runtime.
Yep.
So it's kind of the same answer, but I'll let you say it anyways.
Yeah, it is effectively the same answer in this case. We could go through a laundry list of projects that people say, hey, is this one going to be in there? Is this one going to be in there? And the answer right now is, don't know, right? We honestly don't know what the next ones coming in are. It all comes back to that answer I mentioned a few moments ago. We're going to be looking at projects that are interesting coming in and putting a pretty high bar and ensuring that, hey, the community, the ecosystem around this can be successful continuing to evolve it. And if that's not the case, then we're going to push that team to get it to be that kind of position. So
yeah, and Anthony asks again a similar question. Will Internet Explorer go open source? Jay, answer the question right. Internet Explorer, open source.
When?
Oh, now it's when.
Okay, wait. The panel is now changing the questions on it.
And maybe the other way is, you know, the community certainly has feedback. How would they influence that? You know, certainly, you know, Microsoft is a company. We do a lot with things like user voice.
Yep.
Is it, you know, primarily becoming a member here, or how would they get feedback of A versus B is the most important?
Yeah, I would say that I think the way we're thinking about the role of the foundation is really more in terms of the open source ecosystem and what we do to interact with them. As far as our role of convincing individual product teams that, hey, you need to take this product or this framework and bring it open source, I don't think that's the role of this foundation. That's more of a conversation that those teams need to have with their customers, right?
So, okay.
As you say, yeah, if that's something people want to see, I highly encourage you to engage with the Internet Explorer team and let them know that that's something you're interested in, and then they can have that conversation and figure out how it fits into their product roadmap.
Okay, interesting. This is a question for Onumbraco. Jahan asks, is there a multi-tenant Umbraco?
Well, I think that's up to you how you use it and how you configure it. But I mean, you can configure Umbraco to work in scaling scenarios and simple scenarios. So I mean, there's not like a specific multi-tenant version of Umbraco, but I'm sure you could make it work.
Okay, cool. And
It would require some work, I would say.
It does require work?
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit. But I mean, we have the scaling part of it together with Azure Websites. That's going really well right now. But yeah, still a little work to do.
So thinking about projects, so like imagine you're an open source developer. Hey, you know, should I engage with the .NET Foundation, or should I be publishing? Like, what's the thing? Are there things that you all are going to be doing, whether it's some sort of tech support, or hey, I'm using some library, or something like that? How does that work?
Do you want to start with this one, or?
Well, you know, to us, it's all about the engagement. Again, we see this foundation as the first step in a process. We designed it to be really lightweight at the beginning, exactly because we want to reach out and hammer all those details as we move on. So the next few months, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to work precisely on reaching out to the industry, reaching out to the community, reaching out to prominent figures in the .NET community, and have them help us understand what is the best way. It's a conversation, it's a journey, something we want to work together.
Yeah, I would actually say that maybe it's worth spending a minute and say, kind of how did these guys end up in the conversation, right?
Yeah, which is a great point, right?
Mm-hmm.
As somebody that I would want to aspire to have my project be super successful and potentially commercially successful.
Yeah. So one of the first things when we had the idea of creating this foundation and what we were trying to accomplish, so one of the first things we did is we reached out to some of these guys that have these successful open source projects around .NET and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about this. What would, you know, dial time back, go back to when you first started. What are things that if you were starting today, you would really value and wish you had, you know, from a foundation? But, you know, we think about foundations and sometimes you think about them from back 10 years ago. And the thing that everybody needed was, oh, I need a place to, I need a repo for my source code, or I need a website to talk about. Mm-hmm. You don't need those things anymore, right? That's not what's interesting. So we were trying to engage with these folks that have these successful projects and go, well, you know, what are the kinds of things that that a .NET foundation that has, you know, support from Microsoft. I think that's one thing to be conscious of is, what, this is an independent entity, but Microsoft very much supports this foundation, right? Like in terms of we believe in it, we are going to go and stay and remain engaged with it. Hey, look who's joining us.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
So who is this stranger invading our panel?
What are you doing here?
I don't know. How's it going?
Who are you and what would you say you do here?
Well, I am the biggest fan of C Sharp.
Okay.
Maybe not Anders, but I'm pretty up there. Yeah.
Tied for second.
Yeah, I'm a good fan of C Sharp and F Sharp as well. I'm a big F Sharp guy. I've been working on Mara for many years in the open source .NET implementation of the .NET framework. So this is a perfect, this is a dream come true, actually.
Yeah.
It's a dream come true. I could not believe when Jay gave me a phone call, hey, can we chat on the phone? There's something I would like to chat with you. But like, oh, right, sure, I'll do it. Whoa. I didn't know what to say.
You were rolling your eyes. That's what I hear you say.
No. It's been very exciting. It's been very exciting. It's a wave of changes. You know, every time I get on the phone with somebody from Microsoft, it's like, it's been a surprise. There's things I can't tell you, but they've been very good. They've been very good.
Well. Awesome.
And it's great to have you here. It's
good. But you work for Microsoft now, right?
I do.
Oh,
I do. It's a while.
I'm not.
Oh, you guys we're still independent. This is the independent side of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Notice how they put us
can
on the side.
Can we mingle? Like, this feels weird.
Well, you guys set it up this way.
Yeah, whatever. We'll file a bug. So so we were talking about the .NET Foundation and kind of what it means, and the idea was like an aspirational developer, but like maybe the other way to look at it is like, what would this look like successful in like 1 or 2 years? And we'll let this side of the table maybe shut up, but like, what would it look like? Like, wow, this thing's awesome. I can't wait to talk about it in Build 2016 about what the foundation is doing.
I think that what we want is to energize the existing .NET community. So there's a lot of .NET developers. We want to do a couple of things. We want to energize them. We want to create a very healthy ecosystem around the .NET platform, and Mono, of course, of software that people use. And I personally want to see succeed this to the same extent that the Apache Foundation has, where they created a very fertile soil for people to have a place to contribute code, have a place to discuss ideas, have a place to evolve these APIs. I mean, I don't know if you realize, but people don't typically discuss the future of Java within the Java community process. There was certainly some of that, but it tends to happen now. It's kind of the Apache Foundation that has taken on that role. So for me, a successful .NET Foundation doesn't really need to define what happens to the core of .NET. I think the core of .NET, which you share with Mono, is pretty good, give or take a few classes like the process class, which is a disaster. But
what?
System diagnostics, beginning with the namespace. Who puts the process class in system diagnostics? Makes no sense.
Okay, well, fine, if you want to do namespace.
And then the process thing where you raise events. Oh, no, there's value, but who designed that thing? The process class raises events for standard input and standard output. Makes no sense. Anyways, so give or take a few of these things. In general, it's a fantastic design. You know, with a couple of exceptions like this one, it's fantastic design. So I don't think that we need to, in my opinion, I don't think that we really need to design the feature of the .NET class libraries themselves, but the ecosystem that has built around it. So distributed computing, all this stuff that is happening. I mean, Azure, of course, is huge, but it's all being planned within Microsoft. So I wonder, can we create the next wave of things like the agent technology that was announced recently, all these things in the foundation? Can we make this a fertile soil for experimentation, a welcoming place for third-party devs? because there's been a history with .NET where people kind of, you know, they didn't really jump into premix.NET because they were afraid of, well, Microsoft is going to come with its own alternative, which is still possible. But we need to create an environment where anybody can just come in, the ideas can flourish, and maybe some of these things will become parts of the product. And maybe they won't, but you know, we want to create that thing, and I think that that spirit of community and that spirit of advancing .NET has been missing for a plurality of reasons. And I think it's there's an opportunity to fix it, there's the will to change this, and there's a will of you know, making this solver fertile. Mm-hmm. So that's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. But I think things are changing fast. I mean, I recently had the occasion to talk, I don't know if you know that, but on Windows 8, we have something in XAML called behaviors, which were really missing in Windows 8, and everybody was missing them, right? And in 8.1, they added that, but the relationship was great. I mean, they basically reached out and asked, hey, can you help us, you know, review that, and what do you think of the implementation? And the story being that they basically made a new implementation for Windows 8.1 because the underlying system is different, and so they wanted us to review that. And I was able to pass some feedback, and I was positively surprised that they actually implemented it very fast. So, I mean, the review was probably a few weeks before release, and at release it was inside, and that was really a nice surprise to see. And that also allowed me to basically, you know, remove something from my framework, which I was happy to do because it means I can concentrate on other stuff, right? And so having this kind of relationship, I think, is something which is pretty new. I mean, the fact that they reached out to people, you know, through the MVP program or whatever, it's not new, but the fact that we're in just a few weeks we're able to say, hey, you should change that implementation, and they actually did it. Okay, granted, it was not the core.NET, it was an SDK, but still, I mean, it's pretty new, I think. So that's a good sign, I think. And
cool.
You know, not even talking to what they do with you guys, right? Which is pretty good.
Cool. Mm. So we do have some questions, and I was saving one for you.
Yeah.
Carlos asks, what about Moonlight, the open source version of Silverlight, ? Around having that join the .NET Foundation?
So a couple of things about Moonlight. The major Moonlight has a problem, and I think it was a mistake, and it took us too long to realize the big mistake. Moonlight is implemented in the worst possible language, C++, and it's a colossal, unmitigated disaster. And here's the problem: I did not trust my instinct. I believe the hype, so we implemented the C++ core, and then we put C# on top of it. And people on my team said, the reasons, and I can go into the reasons, they're very boring, but we had what we thought were valid reasons, and my team said, those are bad reasons, let the garbage collector do the job. And we said, no, this sounds like a valid reason, and we went with the stupidest approach, which is use C++. So that was an unmitigated disaster. So I would not start. First off, Moonlight, right? The IP is owned by Novell, and so you know, we can talk Novell into putting in there. But it is a foundation that is sadly it's a tainted foundation. I wouldn't want to touch it. I learned my lesson, and one day I'll write a big blog post about all the technical reasons because they're very interesting. But everything that we thought that we're gonna get out of C++ came back to bite us back, and it's very painful. So it's a code base that there's lessons to learn from it. There, definitely all the drawing, the optimizations for drawing are good, but it needs to be, if somebody cares about it, they would need to rewrite it completely in C#. Now, nowadays, I think that on the web, it's pretty clear that what you want is HTML. There's really very little space for plugins, and there's perhaps one exception that I can think of, native client, but other than that, and it's for very specific workloads, I don't think you want to bet on Silverlight. Now, the engine might be useful in other scenarios, but I'm struggling right now in this world of a very strong iOS, a very strong Android, a very strong Windows RT runtime to bringing this set of APIs. I don't know that they help very much anywhere. So
sure.
That's my...
That's a great answer.
My 400 words on the subject.
So John Peterson asks, is it great that there is an OSS foundation with .NET in the name?
It is.
What does this mean for Outer Curve? Will it stay or will they coexist? So Who wants to answer Outer Curve?
I can take this.
And for people who maybe don't even know what Outer Curve is.
Yeah, actually, let me give you a bit of background. So Outer Curve is an independent foundation that has no hinges whatsoever. It doesn't have any specific technology purpose. It's license agnostic, it's forge agnostic. It contains a bunch of projects for various entities that have contributed over the years, right? So it's what I would call in the landscape of foundation, a general purpose foundation, so to speak. The .NET Foundation, on the other hand, is laser focused. I mean, starting from the name, that there's no mistaking what it is about, right? Mm-hmm. So this is why they serve different purposes. And this is why they are coexisting at this point in time. So I actually serve on both boards, and I cherish both seats.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to helping
And they out. Will continue is mm-hmm. and coexist, is basically. Yeah. Okay. Mustafa asks, we can have development softwares in DreamSpark. Will Xamarin and VS plugin be free to use for undergrads? And where can we get the C-sharp t-shirts from?
Oh, well. Well, the C-Sharp t-shirt is very easy. I don't have the URL here.
I thought you were taking your shirt off.
I was sure, yeah.
Absolutely. I was sure.
There is a URL.
He's an online viewer, so you can't throw it at the camera.
All right. I'm going to need to get back to you with the URL. But the idea of what we're doing with the C-Sharp shirt is we want people to get started on Android and iOS development. So what we did is we built an app that runs either on an Android emulator or an Android device, or an iOS emulator or an iOS device, and we publish the source code. So what you do is very simple. You go to our site, download the source code, run it on the emulator, and you need to make a change to the source code for the software to work. So it's not published on the App Store.
Line break?
Exactly. All right, you can get quickly lines. So you need to put in your email address, then you run it. So we guarantee that you set up the system, that you build it, and you run it, and then it lets you enter your data, and we'll ship you the shirt. The URL.
Gosh. We will maybe
find the URL.
Get it afterwards. And what about for students? Is there any thoughts on Xamarin licensing for students?
We have special licensing for students. I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
Okay.
But we have it on the website.
I think like half your team is probably behind you going, it's this, it's this. It's okay.
They left. They went for lunch.
Well. I guess you're not that interesting. I don't know. That's, normally, I would stay. But let's move on. Got another question. Heaven's Revenge. Considering VB and C-Sharp are first-class citizens of .NET, will modern JavaScript be added to the platform as a third primary language anytime in the future instead of just be a JScript, i.e. JIT?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit off the kind of core topic we're talking about today, but I think the key
I think
here
this is actually to have .NET run. Remember how you could actually have .NET running in CLR?
Yeah, I mean, I think today
with JavaScript.
Today where we're at with the WinRT APIs, right? In that case, those are first-class APIs for the managed languages, VB, C#, as well as JavaScript and C++. So they have native language bindings, I guess, is the way I think about it, for each of those languages in that environment. Beyond that, not a question necessarily for me to be the one to answer for you. So.
Okay. Couple other questions here. Matt Galligan asked, what is the status and future of WPF? And do you want to hit that one?
I would say for those folks that are here at Build this week, you've seen that the WPF team is here. They've had a number of panel discussions.
They had a very nice demo in the keynote.
Yeah,
a couple of nice demo. And by the way, the dentist demo in the keynote was built with MVVM Lite, so
I can say, yeah.
Yep, we saw demos
at
in
your
the keynote.
Baby?
No, I didn't write it, but the guy who wrote it used the framework, that's all, yeah.
Excellent. Mm.
Cool. So we saw demos in the keynote, we saw the team here with a bunch of panel sessions to engage with customers and get feedback on what they wanted to see us take WPF and XAML on the desktop going
forward. I'm super happy to say that the WPF team at Microsoft is really in a phase right now where they are reaching out and getting feedback, especially from right now probably selected users, but we have really a discussion with them and giving feedback, and I think a big feedback has been around performance and all that, so anything that they can do to improve these kind of things. The discussion has been great so far, so it's still at the you know, MVP level and all that, so a little bit under NDA, and that's why we cannot talk too much about it. But basically, it's nice to see them reach out, and I think there is really a big movement within Microsoft to try to get the word out that WPF is still very much alive and definitely the, you know, the best technology to build for the desktop.
Great, great. Yep. So we got just a couple more minutes here, but a question. Jeremy Bell asks Miguel, would you ever consider relicensing the Mono runtime under Apache 2 and submit it to the foundation?
Well, we currently don't have plans. And the reason is our entire business is built on the idea that here's LGPL2. If you want to abide by the rules of free software, you can use it. So you need to publish the source, relinkability, all these things. And in particular, it's incompatible with App Store. So we're actually quite happy because we also relicense it for commercial use. So our entire business is based on that. And you know, I'm a big open source guy, and I tried to make open source work for many years. But it's very difficult. It's a very difficult business to try to make money on purely open source software. So we open source some things under Apache too when it makes sense, and we keep things under, in this dual license case, I think that we've maximized what we give back to the world and what we keep to ourselves. So at this point, we don't have any intentions to do that. But we'll be happy to negotiate a license with you.
Yeah, all right. So a last question here is maybe the, is Rhea, quote, dead, Silverlight Flex, JavaFX? And this is probably more a question on kind of what's popular, maybe. And I don't know if you had opinions on.
Well, it's, you know, I think the landscape of devices has changed so much, and it's really more hybrid than ever, and that makes the roles of plugins definitely difficult, right? And what we notice in the course of business is that while Silverlight, you know, is really a fantastic implementation, and I love developing in Silverlight, and we still do at times for maybe not so much in the browser, but rather for out of the browser implementations, like a kind of a lightweight WPF, right? Mm-hmm. The fact is that the cross-platform story has evolved so much that even Silverlight is not enough, right? And even having it run on macOS, which was already a big step, but even that is not enough, because now if you really want to be truly you know, cross-platform, you have to run also on small devices. And even on the Windows Phone side, it's you know, it's an issue, right? And so I think that now the approach that Miguel and Xamarin is taking is, you know, I'm a big fan. I mean, there is no secret there. I think it's a great approach because it really lets you share the code which makes sense, but at the same time it lets you build a UI which is really specific to the experience and the device that you target. And you know, working for a user experience firm, we love that.
So unfortunately, we do have to cut because they're actually going to go to the live.
So basically, everything's great, nothing's dead. Thank you.
Everything's great, nothing's dead. Yeah. And .netfoundation.org?
.netfoundation.org, yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you all for being here. All right. Appreciate it.